In a world drowning in noise, where truth is often buried beneath layers of propaganda and misinformation, there's a need for a different kind of a network. A network of creators that cuts through the clutter, that doesn't shy away from tough topics, and that delivers the unfiltered truth. We are Trim Radio Network. We are creators. We are innovators. We are investigators. We're the ones who aren't afraid to call a spade. If you're ready to participate in thought-provoking discussions, informational topics, and of course today's biggest headlines, subscribe to our YouTube channel today. We're Trim Radio Network. We're cutting the bull and serving the truth.
Welcome to Revelation, the Cosmic Connection. Peter Kling, known as the Einstein of Biblical Prophecy, brings decades of insight into the mysteries hidden within Scripture and the prophetic signs of our times. And joining him is Dr. Jason Rand, researcher and pioneer in the exploration of extraterrestrial communication, UFO phenomena, and the mysteries of the cosmos. Two hosts, two perspectives, one extraordinary journey. Revelation, the Cosmic Connection, where prophecy meets the cosmos. And now your hosts, Peter Kling and Dr. Rand.
Good evening, everybody. I certainly appreciate you being with us. Unfortunately, Dr. Rand was unable to make the show tonight. He's a bit under the weather, but we hope he'll be back next week, right at the same time. But he expresses his regards for all. And Riscala, our producer, is going to join me tonight. We actually started this show, or we started covering the contents of this show as we were going through the different pictures that we're going to be displaying. We look forward to this conversation continuing here. It'll be most interesting, because we're going to go down a path, and I have to kind of thank Kerry Cassidy for this information. And it's called great that you had her on. Well, not for the information, but for tonight's show, for the inspiration of tonight's show. Because she made a remark. She said, Israel is being controlled by the Anunnaki and the church is being controlled by the reptilians. Okay. You know, I guess we're going to call them that this century. But is there truth to this? What are we actually dealing with? It's quite interesting. Here we have two extraterrestrial beings. One seems to be a little bit more modern than the other. We go back to the Anunnaki, and we got 3,000-year-old. Close to 5,000-year-old. These were texts that came out of ancient Sumeria during, but most likely shortly after the reign of Nimrod. We're not going to get into his death exactly, but Semiramis, his wife, basically had him killed, and she became pregnant afterward, and she claimed it was Nimrod incarnate and gave birth to his son Tammuz. We're going to get more into that a little bit later. But we've got reptilians, and we've got these Anunnaki, and there's so much story that's built around the Anunnaki coming from these texts that you need to be an expert or a professor in order to read. And are you reading them correctly? Are you reading with them with the intent? I came across a YouTube video this past week, and it's funny, when I decided to do this theme for the show, it was like the next day. This YouTube video just popped up. Interesting. They give you what you're thinking about. And it was one of the tablets of the Anunnaki. And it was quite interesting to listen to Anunnaki come to Earth because it's filled with gold, and they start mining the gold. And shortly thereafter, another extraterrestrial race shows up called the Igigi. And the Igigi, you know, want to share in the spoils, and the Anunnaki say, no, we were here first. And so they wind up battling each other, and eventually all the Igigi on Earth expire, which now, you know, now the Anunnaki can't use the Igigi for slaves anymore, so they got to create slaves, and so they genetically engineer us, you and me, and everybody on this planet. Allegedly, we're genetically engineered to be slaves to the Anunnaki. Riscolo, welcome to slavehood. Hey, I do want to say one thing. Hey, like this channel, give us a thumbs up, like the channel, leave a comment, and share with your friends, because this is really great information. I think I blew Riscolo's socks off there before. With some of the information that we're going to cover. Riscolo, please.
Do we have any information if they're ever going to come back?
Well, that was the whole alleged story with Nibiru. And when I first dove into this, the only thing that I could find that was a Nibiru, which means crossing, kind of like crossing the street, or crossing a river, or crossing the galactic equator. I couldn't find any information about some planet other than obscure references, but most interesting references, of this planet Nibiru coming back into our solar system. And there's one scripture, which I read this scripture, and I was like, wait a minute. Okay. There's a little bit too much synchronicity going on here. And I love the scripture. Prior to that, I can't tell you exactly how long, but was prior to that, I watched a documentary on the atmospheres of our solar system. And I'm going back 25 years ago. And for some reason, they added a brown dwarf star to our solar system. And they said on a brown dwarf star, it's in its last phase of existence, it rains iron on a brown dwarf star. And it leaves iron oxide in its wake. That's rust. As it's burning down, and it would look like a sun with wings. The scripture that I find interesting is in Malachi, the fourth chapter, verses 1-3, and I'll paraphrase it. It says, the day is coming that is hotter than the furnace, and to the unrighteous, basically, there's two different words that they use there, which I can't recall off the top of my head, but the unrighteous of the earth will be burned up like chaff, and neither root nor bough will be left. And it says, but to those of you who respect the name of Yahuwah or Jehovah, the star with healing in its wings will make you strong, and like young fattened calves, you will go pawing the ground. You know, you'll be strong like young bull. And your enemies will become as dust under your feet. How does one event have two different outcomes? And it has to do with the sun, S-U-N, with healing in its wings. A brown dwarf star? I don't know. But that's 80% of the planets, 80% of the solar systems that are found are binary star systems. In other words, there's the main star, and then there's another little star that runs around it. Or sometimes they're both of equal size, and they go around each other. There's a lot of variables there. Is it possible? 80% chance it is. There's a biblical mention of a sun with healing in its wings. That's our future. So that day isn't here yet. But back on track. It's going to be a lot of cosmic events coming up, and some we'll see and some we won't see. Riscala, could you put, and I hope I answered that, can you put up our first picture, though? This is the Anunnaki gods. These are the important gods that that purposely enslaved us. Riscala, why did they want to enslave us? Well, they genetically engineered us, right?
To do the work.
Yeah, to do their work. Now, it's interesting. When you go and look at the biblical record, God said, let us create man in our image, and let's make a male and female. And the command is to be fruitful, become many, and fill the earth, subdue it, have in subjection everything. We were given planet Earth and a command that everything was to be in subjection to the humans placed on this planet. So there's nothing about being genetically engineered into a slave race. Two different starts, wouldn't you say?
Sounds like that to me.
So which start would you rather be part of? The Anunnaki or the biblical God, Yahuwah, he who causes to become?
Is that a difficult question?
No, but let's go to our next picture, because that's carried over very closely to the Egyptian gods. And they're always part beast, part man or woman, depending on the god or goddess, and depending on their role, is, you know, what they look like. We know the gods from Egypt a lot longer than we've known Anunnaki gods. You see, that stuff that's just the last 100 years, they started finding the remnants of what was left behind and buried, where we had a biblical historical account for what, 3,000 years, 3,500 years, 3,000 and change. But anyway, the humans grew up with this account. Oh, but the Anunnaki stuff is older. It's got to be more reliable. Look at look at Earth from a scientific viewpoint, and yeah, life on Earth was genetically engineered, but it changes between Cro-Magnon man and Adam. What changed? Adam was created from the elements. He wasn't a genetically engineered previous specimen. He was created, and we are given, while our bodies are three-dimensional, while physical, we are given the soul of God, of Father Yahuwah. It's encoded within our DNA and in our breath. And so our soul, our life force, is aligned with that entity, the creator of everything, the singularity. We'll talk about that in another show. That'll be a more scientific show. But anyway, but here are these gods. Where did they come from? This is part of the Satanic Rebellion. these gods, were they the disembodied souls of the Nephilim who were not allowed to leave the planet? Where did they go? Demonic forces controlled by Satan's influence. Oh, well, you know, you're the mighty men of old, the men of legend. We can make you gods. You can be the gods of this planet. Yeah, you got to work for some other gods that are higher than you. And of course, you know, I'm the boss. So what I say goes, but with my permission, set up your own kingdoms. And so we get enslaved into a satanic system of evil with a plethora of gods who are part of the Anunnaki legend that are here to enslave us. Here to enslave us. Riscala, can we go to the next picture?
Peter, I want to point something out to you.
Oh, yes. The next picture. Absolutely, please.
You'll notice that nine of these, there's 13 total that are shown. Nine out of the 13 have something in their hand, which appears to be almost like a cross of some sort. So when I was in Egypt, I asked about a couple of things. One is the image that you see, I guess it's Horus. That was a real person. That was a real being. That's not, people say that's a symbol. It's not a symbol. That's a real thing, pal. I'm getting that directly from generation after generation after generation after generation who kept track of all this stuff. So that was a being that was walking the earth at one time. The thing that they're holding in their hand, this thing, they call that Moftah il-Hayat. Moftah al-Hayat, this key of life. I asked repeatedly. Nobody could really tell me what it was. But to me, there was a technology that was going on. And this thing, this looks like a cross, which they call the key, has something to do with it. It looks like the more powerful beings carry it with them. It seems like to me.
Yeah. I would say that it gives them reigning power. If somebody, a regular person,
picks it up, does that give them power?
Whoa. Boy, that's a good question.
Okay. I didn't want to take you off the subject. So I'm just curious.
When Moses went before Pharaoh, he threw his staff down on the ground, and it turned into a snake. And Pharaoh said, okay, get all the wise men and the magic practicing priests together. They all came in, and they threw their staffs down. They all turned into snakes, too.
Yeah.
Moses' snake ate all the others. So let's see. He represented Father Yahweh, Yahuwah. And so who had the more powerful staff? But still, it was a symbol of power. What does the Pope carry? He carries a staff with a dead man on a stick. You see, if you look, some of these other gods are carrying the key of life. Now, the Ankh cross in their other hand. And so, you know, the symbolism came from where? But that's a great point that you bring up. You know, you were there. You got to see this stuff. What impression did it leave you with?
I had an amazing experience while I was there. I'll share with you very quickly. When I was 5 years old, my dad took me to see the pyramids. And I touched the pyramid, and I felt an energy. To this day, I'm absolutely positive, 100%. I felt an energy of some sort. It wasn't my imagination. It was something very real. I said, Dad, touch it. He touched it. He didn't feel anything. He said, it's just your imagination. So years and years and decades go by. I get back to Egypt almost a year next month. And the first thing I want to do is go to the pyramids. I want to touch the pyramids. I want to see if that energy, if I can feel that energy. I went there, couldn't wait to get there. I was like a kid in a candy store. Finally got there, went running up to it, touched it, didn't feel anything to my chagrin. Very disappointed. So now in my mind, I'm questioning, did I really feel that? Because I have, without, there was no doubt in my mind until that point where I touched the pyramid, didn't feel it any longer. So anyway, the museum, the Cairo Museum, was just pre-opening, and they had allowed a certain amount of people in. And so we got into the museum. This one sarcophagus caught my eye because of the detail in the sarcophagus. There is no way somebody with a chisel and a hammer did the details, and there's just no way. So anyway, there's hardly anybody in the museum. It's like pre-opening. It's, you know, the museum is made for thousands of people, or maybe hundreds, if we're lucky. I get this idea, lay your hand on the top of this sarcophagus. Lay my hand on the top of the sarcophagus. Son of a gun. There was that energy that I felt when I was 5 years old. Not as strong, but I could definitely feel it. I lift my hand off and I say to myself, you're imagining this. You want to feel it. And that's why you're feeling it. You're not going to feel anything next time you touch it. Lay my hand on it. Son of a gun. Feel that energy again. So remove my hand and I close my eyes and I try to cleanse myself of any presuppositions that you're going to feel it. And I try to come from a neutral state. I put my hand on it. The third time, I could definitely feel it. About that time, one of the curators yells at me in Arabic, get your hand off of that. So I got my hand off of it. There was energy coming from that, Peter. I'm absolutely 100% positive. It was not my imagination. It was the same feeling of energy that I had when I touched the pyramid at 5 years old. It was the same feeling when a friend of mine introduced me to a quantum generator that uses no energy, uses no fuel to produce energy. Same feeling.
Huh. And you know what's under the pyramid, or what they say is under the pyramid?
A whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah, it goes down 2 kilometers. Way so down. They say. Yeah, so the pyramid, you know, I'm thinking of that as like, what is this, a rocket ship? You know, 8 thrusters underneath it? It sits on top of a solid block. So you have to wonder, is that how one of the ways that the oxygen levels got up to between 23 and 24% back in the Cambrian era?
They didn't have to worry about people flying overhead and spraying them like bugs.
Yeah, but there's these pyramid structures all over the earth, and you know, the story that we're getting with the Great Pyramid of Egypt goes much older. It's in the Sphinx too. The Sphinx is pre-flood. That they estimate
other,
that
you mentioned. There's other pyramids. I can't remember where, but there's another pyramid even bigger than that one. There's also a crystal pyramid. In what they call the Double Triangle, which is off of the east coast of Florida and Bimini or Bahama, I think it's Bahamas, and then north a little ways. I don't recall how far north. But there's a triangular area there where all kinds of weird stuff is. And there's a crystal. They have pictures underwater divers took pictures of this crystal pyramid.
Interesting. And so, yeah, you're talking about energy ley lines and the way that everything's laid out just perfectly. And it's like, wait, what? You know, it's like, yeah, I had a similar experience, not as spectacular. But I went to England. Of course, you got to go to Stonehenge. And it was like the perfect day for Stonehenge. When I got to Stonehenge, the sun was setting, but you wouldn't know it. It was just that the light was getting dimmer. It was typical, I guess, London fog, in English fog. Very overcast, and there was a very fine mist that hung in the air. And you could feel, you know, the conditions were like perfect. If you were going to be picking up anything, and I'll tell you what, you walk into that area and you can feel the energy from it. You're right. You know, it's that there's something there. And it's connected back, a lot of it, to the teachings that have come along with these gods, the special knowledge that was given to the human race at the time. You go back to the Tower of Babel, and when God heard what was going on at the Tower of Babel, he said, they're all one language. There's nothing that they won't be able to accomplish that they think of. I thought about that. If you can think of it, you can accomplish it.
Yeah. Allegedly, that was the reason for all the different languages, to confuse the people, because they had reached a point where their unity, they were all of one, meaning they were of one mind and one heart, if you will. And with that unity, they were able to do just about anything.
Yeah. And you know when that changed again? When we started communicating with ones and zeros. The world speaks one language, binary. Yeah. Think about that. The languages are no longer confused. Machines will translate from one language to another. Very simple, very easy. They've been doing it. They've been doing it for 50 years. That I specifically know of. How do you think the Bible's made it all the way around the world in so many different languages? Right? Think about it. Still, with all the persecution that goes on, Christianity, the education of the scriptures, is flourishing in many parts of the planet. Why? Why? Maybe people are waking up to the enslavement. There you go. Thank you for putting that up. Energy fields. Energy fields. Can we go to the next picture? I guess it's picture number 3. And then we have the reptilians. We have the Anunnaki and we have the reptilians. Riscola, you know what the two oldest religions are on the planet?
Christianity? The Jewish religion, whatever it was called before, it was called Jewish religion.
Where religion starts, the two oldest religions on the planet are sun worship, number one, snake worship or serpent worship, number two.
What? Wait a minute. Who's worshiping the sun? Oh, you're saying the oldest. Okay. I'm getting ahead of
you. Okay. You know, it goes right back. And it was actually God over a flat domed earth. You got to go back to Ra. Or let's see, Nimrod, who made himself the god of the sun. You know, Nimrod, Noah's great grandson, who was in opposition to Yahuwah. He was going to do whatever he was like the bad boy of the family. And he was going to do whatever he damn well pleased. And so we get the Anunnaki text of, or actually the Sumerian text of the story of Gilgamesh, which kind of mirrors a bunch of different events. But you look at the actual history of Nimrod, and he was a brutal man. He became a hunter of men. Think about that. And so, yeah, the two oldest religions, and you might think, well, where do we see it? Look at the Aztecs, look at the Mayans, look at the Incas. They all worshipped snakes and the sun. Look at the Far East. It's China and Japan worship the dragon. Right?
True.
Yeah. Think about it. So
it's a snake with legs. right? That's what it is. The one that they worship is a snake with legs.
Yeah, it kind of like little short ones. The wings were clipped.
Some of the symbols and the I can't think of the right word. Images of that thing that they call a dragon, to me looks like a lizard with legs. I mean, a snake with legs more than a lizard, because yeah. It's long. You know what I'm saying? A lizard is proportionate between the legs, between the front legs and the back legs. This thing has got a pretty big distance between the front legs and the back legs, which makes it to me make, and the head looks like a dragon.
Yeah. Right? Yep. And you will crawl on your belly in the dust. Yeah. And you look at that thing, it does have legs, but man, they are short, short legs, and it has no choice but to crawl on its belly.
Rubbing the ground.
Yep. So, but you read the account of Leviathan in the book of Job. And, you know, I always heard, oh, it was about a crocodile. Yeah, one with wings that can turn around and blow fire and smoke. Holy moly, what are you kidding me? Yeah. Spears won't pierce its armor. You're going to take Leviathan and put it on a little leash for your daughter to walk around? it's quite interesting. So once upon a time, I mean, that you think about it. Wait a minute, what? You read that account. It's quite interesting, and it's my interpretation is we're talking about a dragon, and yeah, breathes fire and smoke. People say, how's that possible? Go research the bombardier beetle. It ejects two different chemicals from its butt, which create immense heat, and they use it in self-defense. Bombardier beetle, look it up. Kind of interesting. Anyway, there you go. Little short legs, no wings. Got its wings clipped. Huh, for Leviathan. But anyway, you know, there's plenty of folklore stories, and does another species still exist? I ain't going to say no. There's more than one kind of cat. There's a lot of different lizards. Let's go to picture number four, because here again, are these reptilians gods? We all know where that's from. And if you don't, that's from, that's the meeting hall at the Vatican. Classic reptilian, Riscala?
We're inside of a snake's mouth looking out. There are two fangs. And then there's that god-awful thing they call Jesus rising. That's just a horrible...
an abomination.
Anyway, but you see there's two fangs, and then above that, you got two eyes. And then above the ceiling is made in such a way it looks like it has scales.
Yeah.
Look at the walls.
Yeah.
You're inside of a snake's mouth looking out. And what you're seeing is apparently what they call Jesus. It's not what I call Jesus.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. Whenever the Vatican shows you a symbol of Jesus, it's always an emaciated dead man on a stick, especially.
I don't know how they can call this. I don't know. What is it supposed to be? Jesus rising from what? From hell? From and whoever
from,
or whatever
from
that
death
is. I don't know. That to me is just
demonic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Back to the snake.
Yeah. And it's interesting. I'll go back to Carrie Cassidy just for a second, because she said that the church was run by the reptilians. Can't argue with that.
There you go.
But Israel was run by the Anunnaki. And, you know, we'll call them Anunnaki, but they're part of the satanic force. They set themselves up as gods to enslave us. Keep that in mind. The church did it essentially, talked about this when the Babylon the Great has fallen show in Revelation. The church put out an edict in the 1300s, a papal bull, which they put every living person on the earth under their submission as slaves. Think about that. So that literally happened. The church proclaimed it, and then through the papal bull that went out in the mid-1400s, the papal bull on the crown would carry out the enslavement in foreign lands. And so the first crown were the Portuguese, who started conquering the lands of Africa, West Africa. And they, anybody who wouldn't convert to Christianity, they killed, and then they enslaved the rest. Holy Roman Empire could not conquer Europe, could not conquer Germany, couldn't get much past there. But the Holy Roman Empire took it all. Hmm. Yeah. The Holy Roman Empire took it all. So let's move on to the next picture there, Scala. This is all part of the dragon system. The great fiery colored dragon, seven heads, Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greek, Rome, and England and America. Actually, America just declared its independence back. That's why the king was here kowtowing to Trump. Here's the bell from the Trump. If you need to give us a ring. Yeah, no, the United States might be finding its independence. Let's see what happens as the months go by. But still, this is the spiritual and the principalities, the interdimensional forces such as the Anunnaki and the reptilian and the great Nordics and whatever other class you want to put into that is now on Earth or has been visiting this planet or has taken control over this planet is part of this system. And remember what we're told. Our fight is not against flesh and blood, but against the governments and their agencies, against the principalities, against wicked spirits in unseen heavenly places. Not with flesh and blood, not with each other. You're all related. All the way back, right to Adam. Do not become a part of this system. Do not buy into it. Do not believe what they are putting out. It's all there to continue our enslavement. Think about that. Scott, if we could go to the next system, because here, Revelation 12, war breaks out in heaven. We got interdimensional extraterrestrial forces at war off planet, and they cast out the satanic evil that had contaminated outside this solar system. They've been confined to planet Earth. Woe for the Earth, for the devil has been cast down to you, having great anger, knowing he has a short time left. And when did we see that anger? Yeah, World War I, full force. And how many wars have we had since? Woe, woe, woe for the earth. And what do we see going on now? And who's behind it? Who has been behind it? Now, there's a lot of different systems out there, but hey, we already started this, and where does it all come about? Ruskell, if we can go to the next picture. These are supposed to be the saints of St. Peter's, the Vatican. Maybe they're the gods of yesteryear, the principalities, those who are ruling from the Vatican. Those principalities who have taken possession of the physical person. And so we get stories about shape-shifting reptilian people. You know, that's you can't really say so much about the shape-shifting side as the possession side. And, you know, Beyonce comes right out and says, hey, that's not me on the stage. That's somebody else. Somebody who she sold her body to for fame and fortune. So you can't do that on a religious level? Ruskell, I think we're going to see a lot that comes out here, but this all goes back to the ancient gods, primarily two different belief systems. Ruskell, if we can go to the next picture. Picture number two. Picture number nine. This is the courtyard of St. Peter's. And as you see there, X marks the spot. But notice the shape of it. Notice the shape of it. Round, X marks the spot. There's something in there. What's in there? And then notice how you've got the continuous walls that go right up, actually, to the cathedral itself, right up to the walls of the cathedral itself. So if we can go to picture number 10. Here's what is in the middle of the courtyard. The obelisk of what? The Egyptian obelisk? Why is there an obelisk in the courtyard? If you don't know that the story behind this symbol, this shape, this figure, it goes back. The Egyptian story is that Osiris was killed by his brother Set. Set dismembered his body and distributed him around the world. It just made him, you know, stuck him in different places. Well, he threw the penis in the Nile River and officiated. Well, when when Isis found out about what happened, she went and she gathered all of the pieces together, but she couldn't find his penis because a fish had eaten it. It was poop on the bottom of the Nile. So she fashioned this obelisk made of stone, and she used that for the penis. And she becomes pregnant. What? Can we go back to picture number 9? And there is the penis of Ra in what would look like, picture it, a vagina and uterus leading to the womb of the Vatican. That's where the worship of the gods go to. Ruskella, comment, please.
Well, You know, we had a conversation about this before we started the show.
Yeah, it was great.
I was having a difficult time seeing a vagina, but then now that I look at it more and that it's in my mind, I can see where this could be a symbol of that. Yeah, absolutely. And then right in the center, of course, there is the symbol of the penis. And from that, we got a baby that they, she called a baby what?
I don't know my Egyptology, but actually the baby, that this is, it's a dual symbol because they're also worshiping Semiramis from ancient Samaria, who, this is the story I told earlier, she actually had Nimrod killed. We won't go into the grossness of how it happened, but it was pretty sick. And she was a whore. She was literally the whore of Babylon. That was her profession when Nimrod found her. And she was obviously good at her trade because he made her his queen. But wow. Hey, she was in it for the money and power.
Talk about betrayal. Holy smokes, man.
Yeah, she was mercenary. Right. Anyway, she becomes pregnant after Nimrod, and she gives, ahead of the story here, she made herself goddess of the earth, moon, and stars. The earth, moon, and stars. She was the goddess of. And she gives birth to the first star child. And this is mythology is also picked up in the Egyptian culture. But she names the baby Tammuz. And Tammuz is also the name of a Jewish month. And when you look at the things that the Jews had depraved themselves to, the women were crying for Tammuz because he had died young. The story is carried over into Assyrian, and actually Constantine modeled himself after the star god of Assyria. His name will come to me in a minute, Mithra. And he didn't start Christianity. He was a Mithra worshiper. He had a statue commissioned of himself. I think it was a 20-foot-high statue portrayed as Mithra, the star god. And so every pharaoh was a star god. Do you see what they're doing here? And it's interesting. The obelisk gives it off to one side and the other. X marks the spot. Ooh. And most people can't find it. Anyway, so, you know, conception, touchdown. Look at the symbolism. Go back to picture 10. Look at the symbolism. And who's observing this? Who's observing this? Can we go back to picture 8? That's who's observing it. Huh. Yeah. Who are these statues of? Oh, those are all the saints. And they were possessed by whom? Look at the symbolism. And what are we told? What was? Do not create a graven image of any likeness of me or anything else and worship it. What? Holy moly, broken all over the place. Graven image after graven image after graven image. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. Here, kiss the graven image. The biggest deception and enslavement on the planet. What do you think, Riscala?
And look how long it's been going on.
Yeah, it's been going on since ancient, well, back to the Sumerians. Second generation from Noah after the flood. Now, the interesting thing is when you read the accounts that is in the about the pre-flood and the Nephilim, the Book of Enoch. When you look at that account, while the watchers were thrown into Tartarus or thrown into the pit, they asked for their sons to be able to go with them, and the answer was no. On the earth they were begotten, and on the earth they will stay. And those were the Nephilim. Are we looking at symbols of the mighty men of old? The truth is there. You just have to examine, and you have to have the determination to find it. And then what do you do once you find it? Riscullo, what do you got to do? You find the truth. Does the deception hold you anymore?
No.
It can't.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. And so what was once unobvious, we go back to picture number 9. What was once unobservable, not even noticed, now becomes something we can plainly see. And when we understand the symbolism behind it, that these basic stories go back to ancient Egypt, first world power, and go back to ancient Samaria, which becomes Babylon, the third world power. By then, they had a lot of that stuff all figured out, all recorded, that they had all their mythology down. And so we get the mythology of their gods and what their gods were doing before here, the Anunnaki. And since the cuneiform writings are older, they have to be correct, right? Wrong. If you want to be enslaved, then yeah, believe them. Riscullo, I want to be free.
Amen.
I want to be free. I'm tired of the system of evil, which has done nothing. And we've been enslaved. I mean, wait a minute. We're not part of any of these secret handshake organizations that seem to have more money than God. We're just castaways. Right? The unwashed.
Servants.
We are servants. Yeah. We are servants.
They call us consumers.
Yeah. Goyim cattle. Infidels. Yeah. Interesting, huh? And so
that, they refer to us as consumers. That, to me, that's an insult.
You know, consumer. And while they are the biggest consumers of the planet, how many these entities that have blessed the gods, that have blessed the families in banking and the kings of the earth, who created the governments to enslave people, who were subservient to the Vatican. Who wants us all enslaved? And they've done a very good job of it. Heck, they even created the IRS. Oh, you got too much money.
Which is a Puerto Rican company, by the way.
Yeah.
Incorporated in Puerto Rico.
Absolutely. Wait a minute. How come Puerto Rico's so poor? They got all our money. Question is, where does it go from there? T- 20% to the crown and the rest to the Vatican. I forget their split. I believe it's 80-20. So all the taxes that are collected through the Crown Corporation, through the Crown itself, and keep in mind that the Crown owns about 24% of the landmass of planet Earth. And it may have just gone down a little bit if the United States is truly separated from the Crown, and it's that would appear to be based on what we are observing. But yeah, 22% of the planet Earth, the Crown gets taxes from, which gets passed up to the Vatican, who owns 62% of the landmass of planet Earth. Think about it. And if the Vatican owns that much, why are there wars in one place after another? Why are people so suppressed in remote areas, especially within Africa? Why was Africa allowed to be colonized, yeah, and taken advantage of for over 100 years? Go look at a map of Africa from the late 1800s, early 1900s. Look at all the colonies. That's why when World War One came along, it also involved Africa. Parts of it. But yeah, we've been totally deceived. And there's a deception going on right now. Aliens. Extraterrestrials. The tall whites are here to help us. They're going to give us advanced technology. We'll be able to join the Galactic Federation of Light. Whoa. Oh yeah, I had heard about this. I wanted to go look for this earlier today, and it just got sidetracked with other things. Thank you, Riscala.
thought you might get a kick out of that. They're here to save us.
Yeah. No, put that one back on. Yeah, put that one back on. They don't look so obtrusive. What country are they from? I'm going to guess that this is AI, but who put it out? You know? How far removed from the truth is it? When you look at the, you know, hey. And then you have to throw the Eighth King, which is being run by the King of the Pit of the Abyss. And could his horde actually be the tall whites? Whoa. There's another question. Maybe a question for next week's show. We'll have to get Dr. Rand involved. Anyway, we are coming down to the end of our show here. Riscal, I really appreciate you joining in. And
no
so,
worries.
Yeah, it's been a great pleasure, to say the least. It would have been a slightly different spin, I guess. But, you know, I appreciate your experiences from the Middle East. And there's one thing which you enlightened me to, and that was the how in Arabic the name of Adam is pronounced and its meaning.
Yeah, isn't that wild? Adam. So if you were going to say in Arabic, does he have any blood? You would say, "Is ragel da ando dem?" That man, has he got blood? Dem. So when you put a dem, it's the first blood. Rambo.
The first. that's the interesting thing. It's the first blood that was perfect human DNA, which was created by our father over 6,000 years ago. The first blood broke its commitment. It was damaged. It was no longer perfect. So it took an equivalent in Jesus' sacrifice to replace that first blood. And Jesus never came to start a religion. He came to start a kingdom. So of all the kings and the holy creatures and the interdimensional extraterrestrial beings that have inhabited this earth, where do you want to put your faith? That there's an interdimensional war coming, and God's will be done upon this planet. And so, and we're coming up on a very important date. It's not that far off, the anniversary. We'll talk more about that in other shows. We ask and pray that Dr. Rand gets better. Scola, thank you very much for producing our show. And folks, most of all, I thank you for being part of our audience, part of our family here. Please hit the like button, share this with more members of your family, or your friends. It's interesting information. It makes you think. And once we think and once we see, then we learn and then we know. And let's all be free. And what I'm going to say is love and blessings to all. We'll be right back here next Thursday night. Hope Dr. Rand is here to join us. But if he's not, Riscala, I'm sure you'd be happy to join in.
Absolutely. So
thank you very much, my friend. Love and blessings. Have a great night, folks.